Attention Patriots, this is the Chris Ann Hall Show.
Who's gonna stand up? Where are the lovers of liberty?
I think that's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's unconstitutional. It's out of control.
You think this is over? This isn't over. There's a liberty wave coming.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. You can find us at chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com, or you can find constitutional education that you can rely on at libertyfirstuniversity.com. And if you're watching us on YouTube today, there's a ticker at the bottom that will help remind you of those sites. The big news today, and probably will be for some time, JC, is the Manafort report and the Barr letter.
Mueller report?
What did I say? Manafort. Because I got Manafort on my brain. The Mueller report and the Barr letter. And I think we did a really good job of covering that in detail, at least the Barr letter yesterday. As a matter of fact, I got a lot of great feedback on the on social media about how people were really, really happy to finally get a level-headed review of what's going on. Because, you know, you've got mainstream media, but they have picked their sides. And then all of a sudden it's freak out on this side, right? The freak out. Then the other side wastes all their time responding to the freak out.
Right.
And nobody actually gives you level-headedness. So if you missed the show yesterday on the Mueller report and the Barr letter, then go back to chrisannhall.com and get caught up, because you're going to need that. Now, I do want to mention a couple things about the Mueller report JC, because this, in my mind, from a criminal justice perspective, highlights why all of these indictments that came out of this investigation ought to be dismissed at this point. Everybody who has been convicted ought to be pardoned. Everybody who's had charges come against them ought to be dismissed. And I don't seem to get why the defense attorneys in this case are not pounding their fists on a table, jumping up down and screaming, fishing expedition.
Maybe they are. I mean, maybe they're preparing to file stuff or filing stuff as we speak.
Well, I sure hope so, because these indictments that came out of something that we now know the head investigator says doesn't even exist.
Right.
These indictments are fruit from a poisonous tree. And you don't want a government investigatory power to exist like this. Let me just make this clear. An investigator starts an investigation of your neighbor for, tax fraud. Okay? Just make something up. It doesn't matter. And the next thing you know, the investigator is going door to door to door interviewing the neighbors about the tax fraud of their neighbor. In the meantime, he's searching through their bank statements, searching through their drawers, searching through their refrigerators, and saying, oh, wait a minute, you have this. That's a crime. Excuse me, what is the scope of your investigation here? What exactly is the scope of your warrant? And that's another thing I want to drop in there. This is why I've been teaching people for a decade now, that when someone comes, that when a government agent comes to you with a warrant, never give consent. The minute you give consent, then everything is open. They're not limited to the scope of the warrant. And I have to wonder maybe if that was the case.
I would say not only don't give consent, remain silent. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the George Papadopoulos stuff, I guess we'll look at later. Right. But, you know, it went back to him just talking, just like, oh, whatever. And he just talks. And then you get cornered for something you didn't do.
Right.
Because their entire... Because
you don't know how to shut up.
Yeah, because their entire purpose... This is the crazy thing. And I don't mean to make it sound trivial. But, you know, you watch those 48 hours. What's the show called? First 48 Hours. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's just... They go along with... Some crime is committed in different places. It's Chicago Police Department or, you know, some department in Oklahoma or Atlanta. You know, seeing all these shows. First 48 hours. Without exception... You see the investigators. This is how they do their job. I'm not faulting them, but this is just the way it works. They draw in these witnesses or whoever they're questioning. Well, their entire goal is to get them to say something, right, that they believe they should say. Okay, yeah, so it's not just objective.
No,
search for truth. It's all these various techniques and ways of grilling the suspect to get them to say something that sounds like an admission to some crime.
And that's how investigators work. Investigators don't sit down and say, okay, where were you on this day and what were you doing? I mean, you know this. You told your story not too long ago in a recent show about how there was this mistaken identity with somebody who had your same name renting the house before us that we rented. And when you sat down, they didn't say, Mr. Hall, I see that you're living in house and you're living in this neighborhood.
They used a good cop, bad cop little technique. Now, I'm not criticizing. I'm not criticizing the investigators and how they do it.
What I'm
saying is that's the way that the investigators, that's their best technique.
Right, and that's
that
what I'm trying to say is
to elicit information. And
they say to you, you were there, weren't you?
Yeah, so
you did this, didn't you? Tell us how you did this.
Well, that's even more direct.
Well, they do, but that's how they work.
They do, but I'm saying there's less direct stuff where if you don't, so you sit down and you just think, oh, we're just having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just talking, and you don't fully understand what's going on here, and you don't realize the technique. So I think, you know, reading George Papadopoulos' new book and seeing what's finally come out of that, you see this what happened. But so same thing with all of these guys, what you're talking about in a scenario like that.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators come along, and people would say, oh, well, you got nothing to hide. What's the big deal?
Right, right.
No, you start talking because you think, I got nothing to hide.
Right.
No, you need to shut up and remain silent and get legal representation. It's not a matter you're guilty. It's a matter of get an attorney who has experience in how these techniques are employed and how you can unwittingly end up being charged for something you didn't do because you said something in such a way that now incriminates you, even though you're not admitting,
and
oh, I did
this.
These
rich guys, these government guys, they ought to know this. Don't run your mouth. My goodness, you probably have an attorney on retainer somewhere.
Yeah.
Don't say anything without your attorney present. And the whole warrant thing is something that we need to understand. Don't consent to a warrant. Say you can come, you will use your warrant, right? Come
just
in my
say,
house.
I don't consent.
I'm not going to consent.
I don't consent. Keep it simple. First off, don't give me some long explanation. The less you say, the better off you are. I do not consent to this search.
But I just want to make it real, because what's really going to happen is the law enforcement officer says, when you say, I don't consent, and they're going to say, well, we have this warrant. I'm going to say, I don't consent to the search. Well, we're going to have to search based on this warrant. You say, okay, but I don't consent.
Right?
So you just make sure
don't
consent.
Yeah, and they want to draw you into a discussion,
right,
into a debate. So you keep it simple.
Just keep it simple. I don't consent, and I will not speak.
That's
a lot of the investigators will even try to say, you know, I'm not going to say anything without an attorney. What's the matter? You got something to hide? You know, they'll try to play that. Only the guilty people don't talk to us, right?
Don't get
drawn into that.
And
I wonder sometimes if that, is not, we'll take it easy on you if you talk to us. No, you're going to have to give me the same benefit whether I talk to you or not.
This is how innocent people get charged with crimes they didn't commit.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So keep it simple and keep quiet.
So I wanted to bring up, because we're going to talk about this today, this all of a sudden I'm watching these big talking heads and the pundits in social media and on the airwaves, wherever they are, conservatives are now becoming enlightened. And they're using this term, the silent coup, right? Like as if this coup has just somehow begun and they're, and we're exposing the silent coup of the media and the politicians and the politics. And I wanted to say this publicly and out loud because we've talked about this before. There is a coup. But it's not about Donald Trump. It's about the American way of life. And what we want to show you here is that Donald Trump is a target of the coup because he's a wrench in their works that have already been established for decades.
Yeah. Yeah, no question.
And Papadopoulos printed up a book that I think was just released today, wasn't it? Or this week. It was.
Yeah.
It coincided with the Mueller report, right?
Well, yeah, I guess because he's released to speak.
Right.
Apparently he was under a gag order, and you have all this misinformation about what he did. And so many of the pundits attributing
Russian collusion.
His alleged action is what triggered this whole investigation in the first place. And then you find out it was all a concocted lie to begin with, but it's one of those situations where they target the FBI. When I say they, the FBI and this deep state cabal within the military, within the U.S. intelligence services and law enforcement agencies are targeting him from the get-go, and you know we're just having a chit chat, and he's just talking about something that
he's got the diarrhea of the mouth problem here.
He didn't think it was a big deal, and so he's just talking. And next thing you know, they force him into this plea of something that he didn't do, and he ends up in prison for 2 weeks or jail for 2 weeks.
I say it wouldn't be prison for 2 weeks, but he's in jail for 2 weeks.
And man, it's amazing. You just reading the intro, you talk about he has this little section about what is terror. This is terror. And man, the way he describes how this went down, this is what we were talking about, how they intimidate people and bully them into these situations.
Liberty's lobbyist Chris N. Hall has now taken control.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. We're going to get into a little bit of Papadopoulos' book called Deep State Target.
Yeah.
What is it called? Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down Trump. Bring down President Trump. Man, could they come up with a longer title? Seriously.
So, Deep State Target, if you Google it.
Deep State Target.
I just went ahead and bought it on Kindle for like $10. And it's pretty good. It's really interesting.
It's a good narrative.
It is. Good narrative.
It's well written narrative. Even when you're listening to it with AI.
I got it on the text to speech. You have the robot reading your. It's funny this when it reads Washington D.C., it reads it as Washington D.C. So you keep hearing D.C.
D.C. I like that. Anyway, but his remark about this is what terror is. This is exactly what we were talking about, JC, when we talked about Roger Stone, when we talked about Manafort, when we talked about these people. The only reason they were treated this way was to send a message of terror to anybody else. You better talk to us.
Yeah.
You better comply.
Well,
you better not resist.
And it was funny how he's talking about, you know, how he was snatched up and thrown into this cell. And
thank you, Patriot Act.
Yeah, he gets more, you know, he's talking about his cellmates and how he gets more information. His cellmates are more forthcoming than the people who arrested him, who are not telling him why he's arrested, what it's about. And it's interesting.
You know, it's an interesting little thing about that Sixth Amendment to the federal government, that you have a right to know the charges that are against you,
yeah,
and to confront those witnesses, you know. And because of the Patriot Act, and because of the amendments that have come through the Patriot Act, through the National Defense Authorization since 2012, you are now literally a political prisoner with no rights at all. So I don't even want to hear Alan West tell me that this won't happen to Americans, because we now have proof that it happens to Americans, and not just anybody, big guys.
I want to say something that's typically been controversial in, you know, with conservatives. I want and talk about how conservatives play into these abuses.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at his narrative, how he's describing how it went down, one thing that you see is how infiltrated the government is with the rabid partisans all the way at the ground level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because remember, the conservatives get their panties in a wad when you talk about an FBI agent or this and that. And they have to immediately to cover their base and appeal to their base, they have to immediately say, oh, and start apologizing. Oh, well, we're not talking about, you know, the agents in the field. They're doing a good job. And these are just regular guys and these good, you know, law enforcement people who are trying to do their job, protect the country. Okay, the problem is that's not true.
Right.
Okay, there are bad radical partisans who are run-of-the-mill, ground-level, on-the-street agents and officers who are bad actors and bad people, okay? So,
yeah, just ask Judge Gloria Navarro in Nevada about Dan Love, because that's the whole reason the Bundy cases were completely dismissed, because of a radical terrorist agent and group of agents,
yep,
in the Bureau of Land Management led by a man named Dan Love.
So it's sad when I hear conservatives speak so tribally and you know, it's like this, the back the blue sloganeering, okay? Now, what we intend to mean by that is we support good law enforcement officers, good law,
right,
enforcement agents, or and I won't call them peace officers, okay? We support those folks. But it also kind of belies the reality that there are bad people within that segment of the population.
Right.
And so when you hear when Papadopoulos is initially getting arrested and one of these on the ground every day FBI agents just trying to do their job to protect the country looks at him and says, this is what you get when you work for Trump. Okay. Tell me how that fits into a back the blue and these, that's just not every officer and it's not the officers, it's, you know, these are good people. No, there's some bad people out there. How does that apply to Stroke? How does that apply to Lisa Page? These were on the ground, regular, run-of-the-mill FBI agents. They weren't FBI political leadership. Okay,
all right, JC,
so that's one thing
break,
you find out how deeply infiltrated they are.
When we come into the break, or when we come out of the break, I want to talk about this coup. And I want to talk about how Donald Trump has put himself in this coup, as a target of this coup, and the bigger picture that actually exists.
As arrogant men tear up our Constitution, and from every direction we cry around.
You can't learn the easy way, you'll learn the hard way.
Chris N. Hall, she's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. We have a saying in the house that comes from a very popular movie. Whenever we start talking about the deep state and the underlying, I mean, the true motivational force of the deep state, and that simple phrase is, the spice must flow.
Okay, it's a book, not a movie.
Well, okay, sorry, a book.
It's a series
of books that were turned into a movie.
It's Frank Herbert's Dune.
Dune, right.
But
the spice must flow.
It's a meta, in the book, and it's obvious, it's a metaphor for oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, And this is what funny when you. So this is kind of my.
And this is Papadopoulos talks about this in his book.
He does. Well, that's his, so that's his background. So George okay. Papadopoulos in his book, The Deep State, or Deep State Target. Okay, so his background. He's a policy wonk. You know, he worked for the Hudson Institute, and his background is kind of global security policy, and you know, he pitched, and this is one thing that I think was crucial. I haven't made all the way through the books. I don't know how he ties it to this, but it reminded me as he's talking about his background. So he sort of was trying to promote this idea that Turkey is not our ally, or really not the ally we should have. And I think anybody with half a brain looking at Erdogan and seeing the rise of Islamism, and the sort of authoritarian rule of Erdogan and where Turkey is trending, ought to, you know, anybody with half a brain ought to be able to see that's not the
see,
best.
Here's the thing that I want to bring up, though, because what we're going to talk about is the name of his book, right? The Deep State. People who are in politics naturally assume the deep state is maybe somebody who's an establishment. Or maybe if you go a little bit deeper, the deep state are the ingrained agents like Strzok or Page or this guy you were talking about. But the deep state is deeper than that.
The deep state is
something that promotes the global thing that's
happening.
Well,
they're all part of that. Okay,
right.
they are part of the deep state.
But there's
more to it than that.
They're away from the center.
There's more to it than that. And I think one of the big problems, well, I was getting at, so he goes into his background and how Turkey ties into, you know, his background, what he's pushing. He's saying we need to move away from Turkey, you know, toward Greece. And there's a natural Greece, Cyprus, Israel, you know, interest. Whereas a lot of these other people, since Turkey is a member of NATO, then we're automatically connected with them. Now, so
this is the problem Trump gets into.
Exactly. This what brings up, I think, is the issue at the heart of it. Because we look at what, so you look at the Trump coup attempt, you look at the target, and people often characterize that as, you know, it's a sort of Clinton and the Clintonite, you know, progressive Clintonite assault. But there are more.
To stop him from being president so Hillary could be a president.
Yeah, so I think the people need to recognize, you need to throw in these neoconservatives in
that. Warmongers.
Neoconservative warmongers. You think about the never Trumpers and all this. Why were they never Trumpers? Now, some of the never Trumpers were on the religious right, and he's not a good righteous guy, and how can you support this guy? But in the bulk of them are these neoconservative, you know, warmongering cabal that have the same interests as this progressive Clintonite mafia. And so this is all one group that's targeting.
Well, because Hillary is a neocon. She is a warmonger.
Correct. And it goes back to all of this
military
Turkey,
complex.
All of this Turkey geopolitical thing ties into that. Because here's the thing. If you think about Turkey, it's one thing you have to understand. Turkey controls the Bosphorus Straits. And in the neocon worldview, that is where big bad Russia and their navy would come through the Bosphorus Strait. So we have to have Turkey as an ally
so we
can control
if
this.
If you're watching us on YouTube right now, I have the map of Turkey up there. I have a sort of bigger picture and a smaller picture so you can see those Bosphorus Straits. And you look at the map, Russia, it's about the Black Sea. It's about traveling in and out of the Black Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. Russia, without access to those straits, is landlocked.
Correct.
Except for obviously the other side. But if you're going to come through the Black Sea and out this way, then Russia is locked in there. So they have to have that relationship with Turkey to make that happen.
That's what.
But
yeah.
We have to have that relationship with Turkey for the exact same reason.
Right. So the neocon foreign policy idea is we have to be allies with Turkey so that the Russians can't come through the Bosphorus Straits
because
Turkey is our ally. And, you know,
yeah, it just sounds so juvenile. You're my friend. You can't be his friend.
Okay, so that's the same. That's the same thing going on in Syria. This is exactly what Syria is about. Russia has its base in Tartarus for access. Right. This is about military access and oil access because
the spice must flow.
Think back to the military. When you most naval, any sailor that's gone through boot camp in the Navy, as I have, and they sit down, they start teaching you out of the Blue Jackets manual, and they start, you know, telling you what it's all about. What the Navy is all about is controlling the sea lanes. What are the sea lanes? The sea lanes are those lanes in the sea where commerce and oil is transported, materials and oil is transported. So it's about, the military really is not about fighting the bad guy. It's about, or at least the Navy. The Navy is not about fighting the bad guy, being prepared to fight the bad guy. Its primary purpose is to control the sea lanes, and that is to say, so oil can continue to flow. So this is what that's about.
Well, I would say on a general perspective, so mercantile can operate through the sea lanes. I mean, it's specifically, obviously, in a larger scale, oil. But there's a lot of commerce that comes through there,
correct,
too. So.
But, I mean, yeah, so what? Rice? Okay, big deal. Yeah,
I know, but I'm just saying a long-term thing.
That's part of those commercial products as well. But come on, that's meaningless. It's about the oil.
Right,
okay, the number one thing is the oil. So
the
oil drives U.S. foreign policy, period. That's all there is to it.
Right.
Now, so here's the thing. You have these neocons. That's where Russia comes in and about the control. It's oil. Russia's access to oil and Russia's, you know, ability to operate its military, particularly its Navy, on the high seas. Okay, so that's what that is about. Now, remember, Trump comes in. He begins to question this framework. He said, we're in a different day. It's not the same Russia. What's the deal with this NATO alliance? It's outdated. It's trying to maintain the Cold War infrastructure with a Cold War mentality. That's over and done with. We need to readdress this. And, oh, by the way, we got all these people in here where we're running a military welfare system that we do all the work, and they're not footing the bill anyway. Well, all of a sudden, now Donald Trump saying this, that is a threat to this cabal who wants to continue the military-industrial complex under the Cold War ideology, where that Turkey is our ally and it's all about Russia. Russia has to be the enemy. And so we have to have this.
Is that the NATO, the statements that he made about NATO were immediately sort of overshadowed by other things.
But if
he tried, I mean, Trump took a very hard line stand about this. And we know this because of Nikki Haley and her statements saying, look, we're not going to be a part of this welfare system anymore. And Trump went on and on about the money that we're spending there. And again, like you said, the Cold War is over because Trump is a business negotiator.
Yeah,
wants to negotiate with these other countries.
He came in looking at, you know, examining, analyzing what's going on, saying, okay, what can we renegotiate? And this is one of the things he identified. This is outdated, needs to be upgraded. And if you recall, go back and look at the timeline, that's when all of a sudden we have all these problems. And this Russian collusion, all this thing really, really kicked into gear.
Right.
I believe that's the bigger picture here. That's what it's all about. So you can talk about the progressives and this and that trying to take him out. It's bigger than that. That's the surface. That's the cover.
Well, listen, JC, why Russia? Why a collusion with Russia?
Because Russia has to be the bad guy.
Because we have to reestablish this Cold War.
We have to maintain.
The Cold War business industry began to realize that the American people, through their acceptance of Donald Trump's statements about Russia and negotiating with them, they were starting to realize that the American people were starting to accept the fact that the Cold War is over.
Yeah.
Maybe Russia's not an enemy anymore.
Yeah,
would you remember Hillary?
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Remember the photo op propaganda commercial with the big red button.
The big red reset button what's wrong in Russian.
The Russia reset.
The Russia reset button was Clinton.
Right.
And Obama. Under
Obama.
Right.
It was Clinton's
right.
State Department. And then as soon as they were done with that propaganda theater, then they immediately turned and began to essentially target Russia and poke Russia and, you know, behind the scenes, reignite the hostilities. So that whole thing was theater. That was for the masses, for the consumption of the masses. And you know, again, like I said, there is a deeper a deeper cabal that has to maintain the war machine and this Cold War structure.
There are
so many structures built on that revenue stream, and it can't be threatened.
Knowing the Russian culture, the Russian history, the Russian politics, the way we do, Putin doesn't need a conflict with us. Putin and the Russian government they've got plenty to deal with on their own to keep their own military complex in operation. They've got enough going on there with the politics of oil and everything that's going there. They don't need this conflict with us the way that the deep state needs a conflict with Russia.
Well, Putin plays that in politics. So when it comes to campaign time, you know, he'll roll out America the aggressor, America the enemy. Of course, when you dig into what's going on, you actually see the American military complex really.
Like you said, poking at them all the time.
Yeah,
but I'm saying is
they instigate a lot of this.
My point is that Russia is not poking at us, right?
Typically,
the way we are poking
typically,
at them.
No. Now, it's reported in the Western media as such. But if you actually look at what's going on, you'll realize many of the statements that Putin, and I'm not trying to make him out to be a good guy
because
he's not a good guy.
Okay.
But I'm saying if you actually look at what's going on, if you go research the interactions when you see Putin make his inflammatory statements and what looks like threatening statements toward the United States, if you actually research it, you'll find out there's something that America did that he's reacting to. But that part is not reported in the Western media. But I'm not saying he's a good guy. He's not a good guy. I'm not trying to pitch a commercial, a pro-Putin commercial. I'm just saying
the dynamics of this relationship that we have and the fact that the deep state needs the Cold War to continue so they can continue reaping in their wages.
I'm a long, long way from my home, and I'm going to change all the things I find.
The Chris and Hall Show.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall, talking about the deep state and Papadopoulos and all of this stuff.
I don't know if we're boring people to death with this, but the simple point that I want people to get.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Is if you're looking at this and you see it only through the lens of progressive versus conservative, you don't know what's going on. If you don't understand geopolitics, okay, I mean global politics, as centered around oil and the major military powers, particularly naval power controlling the sea lanes. If you don't understand...
And the money that's made from that.
Yes, if you don't understand these things and how these different puzzle pieces fit together, like Turkey, like Syria, like all of this stuff, these countries in the Middle East, look at... I don't remember if it was American Enterprise Institute or whatever, this one of these think tanks that had their 20-year program, one of these CFR groups that had their multi-decade program laid out of which Middle Eastern countries they wanted to topple. I mean, if you don't understand all of that, then you're really then some of what's going on and why it's happening and where it's going to go, you're not going to comprehend it.
Well, and then you might be led to believe that it's all about Trump. And then when things quiet down about Trump or when Trump's out of office, maybe you think it's all better now.
Or you might believe, Robert Mueller was a plant by Trump in order to foil the progressives, you know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you don't know the bigger picture. You don't understand geopolitics and that there's a deeper enemy at work than, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, and the progressives just trying to take down Trump because they want socialism.
Right, because it's not about Trump. It's a deeper thing. It's about control. It's about money. It's about oil. And it's about people in power controlling the American people so that we are not a constitutional republic. That's why the whole push for socialism is part of it. That's why the whole push for the elimination of the Electoral College. That's why the whole push is there for the elimination or the establishment of the national popular vote. It's why the 17th Amendment was passed. It's why the 16th Amendment was passed. Remember, Thomas Paine said, you don't raise taxes to fund wars. You raise wars to collect taxes. And so this is the bigger picture here. And we intend to not only bring these current events to you, but bring to them to a light that you can be actually equipped with a long-term fight here, with the long-term goal. Because it can't be about political parties, and it can't be about personalities. It's got to be about fundamental principles.
Well, and that's the thing. And I guess kind of at the heart of what I'm saying is, it's not just about winning an election and defeating, you know, the new Green Deal socialist.
Right.
And so then we think, because I do think a lot of what...
It's like the three-card Monty thing.
It is. And a lot of what went on undermines the new Green Deal Bolsheviks. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I think they're hurting themselves. They're digging themselves a grave. But what I'm afraid of is we're going to get distracted and think that's the enemy. That's the only enemy. Whereas there is a deep state cabal here that's three or four or five chess moves ahead, while we're focusing on a surface enemy represented by Ocasio-Cortez, and we're going to miss it.
I want to show you guys something before we go. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee is in session to talk about national red flag laws, to talk about how the federal government can encourage the establishment of state-level red flag laws. These are, if you're watching us on YouTube, I've posted up the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. We need to be in contact with these people and remind them of shall not be infringed. There are several articles at chrisannhall.com that can arm you with the facts about this. We need to impress upon these people that this is not just a Second Amendment thing. These red flag laws are a Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment, Eighth Amendment things. And the federal government needs to know that shall not be infringed is not just about your right to keep and bear arms, but it's also about your right to be secure in your property and your right to be secure in due process. So let's bring them the argument to the property rights of the people, and not just simply be a bunch of gun fanatics, but be people who are reasoned and have a plan for the limitation of government to the securing of our rights. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.